As newlyweds, we enter marriage with big dreams and great expectations. Then reality sets in. Marriage calls us to lay down our lives, much like Jesus did. I'm Brian Patrick, and we're kicking off a four-part series on marriage and family. Wake Up Call is our topic for our first quarter on Crossing the Goal. We're kicking off a brand new series on marriage and family, Wake Up Call, this time on Crossing the Goal, as we meet our Crossing the Goal team, the Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, President and Founder of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, FOCUS, and that's Curtis Martin, and the former All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, Danny Abramowitz, the author of Spiritual Workout, of a former saint, and by the way, Danny's a future saint along with his wife, Claudia. You guys have more than 40 years of marriage to look back on, so you obviously know a little bit about this.
Well, Brian and guys, you know, people have a fear of marriage in our society because I don't think they can buy into the idea that it's a covenant between God and them. It's permanent and lasts for life.
No, that's an important part. And I'm really excited about the whole four-part series, but I think in a certain sense, this particular issue of beginning well is so important because we're laying the foundation. This is the show that, if you're not married, is the one you need to listen to because so many people don't start well, and it's so hard to correct on that. So this is really important content.
Yeah, and I'm excited about this series myself just because marriage is, and family, are kind of ground zero in the spiritual battle of our time. I can't believe how much confusion there is about what is marriage and what's it for. And this program is going to allow us to fight for it and to communicate the biblical and the church vision of what it means to be married and to have a family.
And we just finished a series on spiritual combat, and this might actually be a more controversial issue for us to encounter because marriage is under attack in an enormous way right now.
And marriage is the battleground in this spiritual combat.
A lot of people think marriage isn't fun or great or, you know, I've been married over 40 years. It gets better every year, I swear.
Yeah, that's because of who you're married to.
That's right.
Exactly.
A martyr.
Yeah, that's right.
And as usual here on Crossing the Goal, we have a game plan and also a little surprise for you. So stay with us right here on Crossing the Goal.
Marriage is not always easy. And women and men that are bonded with God in the middle have a foundation, have a strength that other people don't experience, that don't have faith. And so, you know, we've gone back, you know, when you're facing struggles, when you're really dealing in difficult situations, I think as a husband and a wife, when you can go back to the scripture and when you can go back to prayer and recognize the covenant that you made before God, I think it really helps strengthen your relationship. And I know that, you know, we've been married over 21 years now, and I know that we've gone back and, because of our faith, got on our knees and prayed to God and had our marriage blessed several times over, where without that foundation, we may not be married today without that type of foundation to go back to.
Welcome back to Crossing the Goal. I'm Peter Herbeck, and as Brian said, we've got a special surprise this week. It's my great delight and joy to introduce to you my bride and love of my life, Debbie Herbeck.
Thanks, Peter. It's great to be here.
It's great
to be here with you. And also, I don't think any man can talk credibly about their married life without their wife present.
Absolutely. That's true. Well, it's so great to have you on Crossing the Goal. Well, we thought it'd be good to bring our wives and to be able to share really from our experience what we've learned about marriage, what we've learned about family life. And I was thinking, this is our 25th anniversary year. We've been married almost 25 years now.
Yeah, I remember Peter said, honey, what do you want to do for your 25th anniversary? And I said, I would love to be on Crossing the Goal with you.
And Danny Bramwood said he'd pay for it. So that's how we got it to work.
Yeah, free trip and everything.
Yeah, so. There you go. Excellent. Very good. Well, you know, one of the first things that we learned, it's really simple, it's really basic, is that the church has the best wisdom on married life. I mean, we decided kind of early on, as I look back now, it was such a blessing to say, let's not try to make it up on our own. I felt clueless. I felt in over my head, and I needed some help, and really found so much wisdom, inspiration, and life in the teaching of the church.
I agree, and I think something even more fundamental to that was really deciding at the beginning of our courtship to really put our relationship under the Lordship of Jesus. And one of the things, as we walked down memory lane, that really attracted me to you was your commitment to the Lord, and that your life was really solidly founded on the Lord Jesus. And as we began our courtship and our relationship and our marriage, to really put our marriage under the Lordship of Jesus gave it that foundation that really has made all the difference in the world.
I know you mentioned to me a couple of times how you said you had to learn that Jesus was the greatest love of your life and not me. Right?
That's right. And I think it's a great lesson for every human being to learn that no one person is going to give you everything that you need, that only Jesus can do that for you. And actually, when you're able to receive more from the Lord, it frees you up to give more to your spouse and to receive from your spouse what your spouse has to give.
Yeah, not expect too much from your spouse. You can't expect your spouse to be God.
Right.
I mean, I'm close, but I'm not all the way there, you know?
Right.
No. But anyway, I think one of the things that we learned is the need to continue to put the relationship under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I remember one time when early on in our marriage, we had a couple of kids. We had Sarah and Michael, and they were little. And we were in a kind of a mini crisis, financial crisis, career crisis. And being the good disciple that I am, I started to panic and started to freak out, you know. And I remember you calling me to faith. She's always had so much more faith than me. And I remember one day we said, you know what? Let's just go down and kneel before the cross together. We went down, we had a little crucifix prayer area in the basement, and the two of us went down. We got out our wallets, our driver's license, our car keys, our house keys, and we laid everything before the crucifix and said, Jesus, we can't figure it all out. We don't have all the answers, but we're going to give everything to you, our whole enterprise, our whole life, our kids, our married life, our sexual life, our money, everything. We want to go your way. That was a huge turning point for me personally.
It was. I remember that. And even though that was a really visible sign of doing that, we've really had to do that every day out of our married life in really practical ways, whether it's how we choose to speak to one another, how we choose to relate to our vision for raising our children, how we relate to our finances. And you just can't get away from it. Every single day, you know, you're faced with that decision and that choice. Are we going to trust the Lord for our lives together? Yeah. Is He really Lord of our life, or isn't He? And how are we going to express that?
Communication was a big one for us too. One of the big things was learning how to fight properly, learning how to have an argument, because you're going to fight. And there's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it. I remember when we first started having communication problems, you know, because, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. I know most of the time you thought I was from Pluto, but the bottom line was we had to learn how to do it the right way. You would get quiet and pull yourself away, and I would get loud. I'd get louder, you'd get quieter, and somehow we would just miss each other. We had to learn how to communicate with each other.
Yeah, and you know, each person comes into a marriage with not only expectations, but a lot of baggage and things they've learned from their own families and their own parents. And whether you're Italian and you talk a lot and you yell, and that means I love you when you're yelling, or whether you get quiet and pull away emotionally. And so I think we did both come in with our own set of strengths and weaknesses and kind of learning how to communicate. And I think something that was really key for me and probably still learning is how to just be secure in the relationship and to trust that, you know what, I can say anything to you and you're still going to be there and you're not going anywhere, and that we have to learn how to communicate in a way that's healthy and that builds one another up and respects the dignity that each of us have for one another.
I think one of the biggest lessons for me in that communication thing was one of our early fights. I felt like the Lord said to me, hey, wait a minute, this is my daughter you're talking to. You can't talk to her any way you want to talk to her just because you're mad, just because you're angry, you know, and I can't. And it's easy for men to put their wives down, to ridicule them, to mock them. And I just felt the Lord say, that's just totally out of bounds. If you're going to follow me, it's just not going to work. You need to honor and respect her right in the middle of all of it. So learning how to fight was really important in the right kind of way, you know?
Yeah, and we made a decision. I remember after that fight, very early on, it was a couple weeks into our marriage, that there were certain things that were just out of bounds. We weren't going to call each other names. We weren't going to say things to one another. And that really is carried over with our kids, too, because, you know, what you model in front of your kids, they will end up doing and thinking is all right. And, you know, we've actually been able to teach our kids we don't treat one another that way, and you can't treat one another that way.
I mean, at the end of the day, our prayer life together, our relationship with the Lord has kind of been the foundation. We've been able to just scratch the surface here a little bit. We'll be able to take up more in the red zone. But, honey, thank you for being here. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Love you, honey. God bless you. Okay, Brian.
Thanks a lot, Peter and Debbie, a dynamic duo, the Herbecks, and they've learned how to fight, Danny. That should make things interesting in the red zone.
Well, I know who my money's going to be on.
I can't wait to welcome Debbie to the red zone.
All right. We are in the red zone next here on Crossing the Goal right after this quick timeout. Welcome to the Red Zone here on Crossing the Goal, where things get a little scrappy. This is the beginning of our series on marriage and family, and it's really great to welcome the Herbecks as a couple, and happy 25th anniversary.
Hey, happy anniversary, Ronnie.
Awesome. There you go. How about that? Yeah. You guys first kiss in the red zone.
That's right. And I'm glad, because it's usually just us guys.
Hopefully the last.
You guys have a really solid marriage, and it was really very inspiring to listen to the way you've grown. What do you attribute that to, Peter?
Well, first the Lord and marrying the right woman. Yeah. I mean, that gets you out front in a hurry. But I think the one of the big things we didn't get a chance to talk about up there that had a big impact on us early was we had some mentoring couples, some older couples who were running in the Lord, who had their kids raised, and they could give us a lot, because you just feel so lost when you're just getting started. And one of the things they gave us, great piece of advice, because our kids were growing, I was traveling, all this stuff was happening, we were starting to feel kind of disconnected, Deb was feeling overwhelmed. They said, look, besides having a dinner out once a week together, you need to have a business meeting together for 1 hour, make a commitment, put it in there and get in your schedule, and then sit down, bring your calendars, your to-do lists, bring your scripture so you can get time to pray, and then talk about give time to talk about what's going on between the two of you. Great piece of advice for us and really helped us. We did that for years.
Yeah, Debbie,
really
good. Did you ever get a word in edgewise with him? That's an issue we have with Peter.
Yes, I do. And sometimes, sometimes I have to say, Peter, stop.
Danny,
it's my turn. It's my turn. And he's gotten a lot better at saying, at stopping himself or looking back saying, did I give you enough chance to respond to something? And one of the ways we did that was to actually schedule time when I knew I was going to have an opportunity to bring to him what was on my mind and my heart, whether it was issues about the kids, whether it was just really kind of functional, practical things about where are you going to be at this time, who's driving who, where, what are we doing on the weekend, those kind of things. And it's really important, and gives you a sense of peace and order to your life to know that you have time with your spouse to really go over those things. Yeah. So things don't build up in you.
I love the idea of the mentor couples. We've done the same. Mike Land and I were really blessed. A lot of couples aren't. Both of us came from families where mom and dad had stayed faithful to one another and had set great examples, but we hadn't necessarily had the principles articulated to us. And finding those mentors who could sit back and say, let me explain what you saw, and this is how you can do it, and how you can stand on the shoulders of your parents and even make it better. Yeah. And I think in this culture, we need that. We need to really be able to have strong marriages.
Or even the inevitable, you guys, when you have as a young guy, you kind of say, wow, is this going to work? You know, everybody has a few moments where you just feel like you're hitting the wall and you're running out of resources. And does she even love me anymore? What are you going to do? You have these panic and emotional issues. And you sit down with an older guy and you say, dude, relax. It's no big deal. And they're able to give you perspective, and it really helps.
Did you point over to Danny when you said that older guy?
Well, speaking of all of these mentors you had, I had a steel worker at a fireman trying to mentor me. Me and my wife started dating in high school, and then we got married. She was just turned 18. She was 19. I turned 21, and we got married in the dirtiest city in America, Steubenville, and at the time. And then we went on our honeymoon to the second dirtiest city in America.
Which one is that?
Pittsburgh.
Cleaned
up both of them. Cleaned up very good. But then, you know, the romance, kissy bear, huggy bear, everything was going along, and we went to my senior year in college.
And then, Xavier University, by the way.
Xavier University.
Cincinnati.
And my wife worked, and I finished school. And then we went to New Orleans. I got drafted by the Saints. And the lifestyle that we lived, gang, was a blue-collar upbringing. Lovely. I mean, I loved it and all that kind of stuff. But all of a sudden, we were pushed into a whole
the
new
celebrity
ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
And it really started to have an effect on our marriage
sure.
negatively. It was all great for the first couple of years, but then, and I was the cause of it,
sure.
not my wife. And it was overwhelming, and it did create some problems. I wish I did have some mentors.
She would agree if she were, if Claudia were here, she'd agree with that, I'm sure.
I think she would.
But I think one of the points, Danny, is your marriage changed in a very specific way because of professional football. One thing you can say for sure, though, once you get married, it's going to change.
Right. Yes.
And how do you navigate those right. changes exactly. is really the key.
One of the big things we've had to learn from the beginning was hard for me at first is to be able to say, please forgive me. Yeah. I was wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's actually really good at it, I think.
He gets a lot of practice.
Does he?
Yeah.
That must be it.
Oh, man.
So, no, I think it's really been a strength that yeah. he's been willing to say, please forgive me. He's better at it than I am.
That's
so.
An awesome version. It's one that I'm still trying to grow in. Mike Land is better at making peace than I am. And it's not that I'm not sorry. It just takes me longer to cool down. And so she's really set a great example, but it's a virtue that I continue to want to grow in.
Do you find, though, when you ask for forgiveness from each other and grant that forgiveness, that pretty much diffuses that situation?
I think so. I mean, I think the older we get and the more we learn about the power of forgiveness and also not holding on to unforgiveness, it's two-way, you know. Just saying the words often isn't enough, although that's really the place to start. That's where we started with our kids, you know. They'd fight or hit one another and we'd say, Michael, you know, tell your sister that you're sorry. You know, Sarah, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Yes, Michael, I forgive you. Going through all the words. But then the more you do it, the reality of what's really happening, that really sinks in your heart, and it really does. Then you have to emotionally just walk away from it and move on mm-hmm. with life.
And that question of, or the request, please forgive me, brings a better response than I'm sorry, because you can say, yeah, you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are sorry.
I think to be able, even little things we learned around it, yeah. you know, to look a person in the eye and say, look me in the eye, please forgive me, you know, for speaking to you that way was really wrong, and I'm very sorry. Mm-hmm. Then the person looks back and says, I forgive you. And that's how we taught our kids to do it, the same thing. There's a release, there's yeah. grace, and then embrace, and then kiss, and hold each other for a minute and say, you know, and just communicate that unity. There's grace there. It's powerful. It's the grease that makes the whole thing work, you know, forgiveness. I mean,
I think what it gets at is that love is really a decision. You know, you talked about those fuzzy, warm feelings that we all have when we first get married and the honeymoon phase, and that wears off, you know, almost the minute you roll over in bed and you think, this is who I married, you know, and then you go through all the stages of pregnancy and yeah. everything else. And love is a decision every single day
choice,
that
yeah.
you wake up. It's a choice to put the other person first. It's a choice to do what you know is right, even when you're not feeling it. And, you know, there are some days when we don't like each other, but we have to choose to love one another.
Yeah. Debbie, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things over the years, what's happening in our marriage, that my wife is my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
I like being around her more than anybody.
Yeah.
What has that occurred in your marriage?
Yeah, I think it has, and I think we're working on it. You know, you have to keep rediscovering that. We did a lot of tag teaming when our kids, we were raising mm-hmm. our kids. Now they're, you know, we've got older teenagers and young adults, and there's less tag teaming than there was. But so we're rediscovering one another. Well, what do you like to do? Well, I like to garden. Well, he doesn't like to garden as much, but he's willing to come out and do some of the heavy work with me. Just last week we went golfing together and we had a wonderful time.
Yeah. You hit the ball pretty well.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Who was keeping score?
Yeah.
We never keep score in our marriage. Okay. That's another lesson.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, you know, we don't want to run out of time. We want to make sure and say hi to our children. Tell them about how many kids we have and who they are, honey.
We have four children. Our oldest, Sarah, is 23. And then there's Michael, who's 21, Joshua, who's 18, and Rachel, who's 15.
Hey, kids. Love you.
Better be watching.
Kids. And I know they're always watching Crossing
yeah,
the Goal.
More than their dad.
So, I've never seen it. You know?
We got a chance to meet your yeah. family down in Orlando. What a wonderful family yeah.
Thank
you have.
You're
really blessed with some great kids. Just a wonderful family.
Well, it's wonderful to look at our kids and see it's really the fruit of 25 years of really every day just trying to be faithful to the Lord. And, you know, we're not perfect. We're still working on it. These are lessons we're learning. and we'll continue to learn. And we're just, you know, grateful that the Lord is in our lives, and there's really grace in the sacrament to do what he's called us to do.
If someone's watching and saying, well, you know, we don't have that Ozzie and Harriet marriage. You pointed out very well, and Danny talks about this, how, you know, through thick and thin, I mean, Claudia stayed with you through a pretty rough time.
Right. She did, and marriage is ups and downs. You're going to have the ups and downs. In fact, our marriage grew through the trials and tribulations that we went through.
It's really true.
That's how on an ongoing thing, we just worked through them. And it's not all, like you say, kissy bear, huggy bear. There was some yelling and screaming going on there. But the respect of the other person.
Yeah, to give them, it's really important.
Really, to give them some space, man. You know, that women and men are differently, and we think differently, our thought process and the whole thing, and to understand one another. We still, to this day, work on it. You know what I really like you guys to do is, for people out there, what would you recommend people with married couples? You know, tell the people.
Ladies first.
I would say to really pray together, even if it's just a very simple prayer like, God, help us. I mean, marriage is a miracle. For any married couple to be able to survive in this day and age, to live together, to raise children, to fight the culture, it's a miracle, and we need God's help. And even if you don't know how to ask or how to pray, just that simple, God, help us.
Mm-hmm. That's a good prayer.
I'd say don't let the sun go down in your anger. Deal with problems that are real in your heart. Talk about them. Be honest. Don't be afraid of intimacy. And really telling the truth and communicating honestly with each other from the bottom of your heart. And trust that the Lord's going to take you through that scary land that we don't want to go to most of the time. You know?
And it's never too late. God can remake any marriage. He can restore it and renew it and revitalize it. It's never too late.
But Brian, I never met Ozzie and Harriet, by the way. I've never met her. So.
It's before our day.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. Happy anniversary,
thank
Peter
you.
And Debbie. And we're going to be back with the End Zone next as we wrap up our show on Wake Up Call here on Crossing the Goal.
He's really good at it. Very
We've made it to the End Zone in our first quarter of our series on marriage and family. Wake Up Call is our topic, and it's time for the last word, beginning with Peter Herbeck.
First, I just want to, I'm just trying to register. Danny said twice, kissy bear, huggy boo, something like that in the red zone. And just, is that what you were like at one time?
Kissy, yeah, kissy.
I just want to say, especially the men who are listening, Scripture does say, and I mentioned it down there, don't let the sun go down on your anger. If you're right now in a situation with your wife or wife with your husband where you're unreconciled, you're mad at each other, you've been mad for days, you haven't talking about it, take the initiative. Don't sit and say it's his fault or it's her fault, I don't want to do it. Trust God, take God's command, go forward and seek reconciliation, and he will help heal your marriage.
It's amazing what faithfulness to God's word will do in that area. I would say we live in a day and age when the church's teachings seem to be more and more outdated and less in keeping with the culture. And that's precisely why Christian marriage works and the rest really struggle. And so I would want to turn to our Lord's own statement through the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11, when he says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Trust in God's plan. The church has such amazing wisdom in the area of marriage and family. Learn those teachings and live by them.
Thank you. Men, this is for you out there. What I want you to do tonight is to go home, get your wife, hug her, kiss her, and let her know how much you love and appreciate her.
That's not too tough, Coach. We can all do
it
that.
Is. Sometimes it is tough.
Sometimes, sometimes it can be.
For some of us, yeah.
Well, I wonder if we could talk Curtis into bringing Michael Ann on. They have 8 children. That'd and for our next show, what do you think?
Be a dream come true if it could happen.
Yeah.
Well, I think we can make it happen. Our next segment on Crossing the Goal is called Having Children. It'll be our second quarter of this 4-part series. We look forward to seeing you then.
That I did, I'm going to make sure it comes.
what happens.
Don't let that one get me.